You are listening to a weekend gathering of Shelter Church located in Kettering, Ohio. If you'd like to learn more about who we are, visit us at shelterchurch.tv.
Oh man, that's pretty fierce, isn't it? That is pretty fierce. Hold on, I hate to interrupt, but y'all have something else? I don't record what does not sell, and gospel like that does not sell. What's wrong with the way I sing it, he says. You don't believe it, right? You know exactly what I'm telling you. We've heard that same old song 100 times, just like that. 100 times, just like that, that same old tune, right? Here's the catch. There are times in my life when I believe that I live like Johnny Cash was singing. When it comes to the gospel, when it comes to sharing a message, when it comes to the gospel message, the good news of Jesus Christ, when it comes to what it is that we say we are, you know, as a church and as followers of Christ, that same old song every time, 100 times, we sing the same old thing. I'm not talking about the way we sing it. Talking about the way we live it, the way I live it. I think we all can share in this sentiment at times, perhaps even now. You just feel like you're going through the motions. You felt it for a while. And you wonder, what in the heck are we doing? What in the world are we doing? You guys with me here today? Here's the deal. I don't know if we are living like we truly believe that the gospel and God's grace can change lives. If God is not in the business of changing lives, or let me say it like this, if God is in the business of changing lives, what in the heck are we doing? So let me ask you about your life. Let me ask us about our life. And how we're living it. Let's bring it home. You want to bring it home? Let's bring it home. Let's boil it all down. Let's bring it home. Bring it all down. Bring it home. If you were hit by a truck and you were lying out there in that gutter, dying, and you had time to sing one song people would remember before your dirt. One song that would let God know about your time here on earth. One song that would sum you up. How would you live that song? Would you sing that song that you've been singing? Or would you live that life that you've been living? Or would you be something different? Would you live something? Would you live out your faith differently? Now, you and I both know that we are living in a way that reflects the image of Christ, or at least that's our hope. But we're certainly living in a way that's reflecting the image of the church, because we are the church. And how we have been living is how it reflects to the world. Same old song 100 times, just like that, right? And so, this is nothing new, by the way. I mean, we could go back in time and in scripture. Matter of fact, we could go back to Isaiah chapter 61. And God inspired Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord was Isaiah when he first brought this out. But Isaiah, for 700 years, 700, some say 745, right around 700 years, in settings like this, when they would gather, someone would come up and they would roll out the scroll and they would read what Isaiah read. For 700 years, they had practiced this, and they did this after Isaiah first came out with this passage. And what happened after a period of time, it became the same old thing. You guys hear with me today? Right? 100 times. Same old way of doing it, same old thing, 100 times. And they just got to a point where they were going like through the motions, if you will. Kind of like they would read it, but they weren't living it. Certainly weren't reflecting it. And they would get up and they would do this thing and go about their deal and this and that. You know what I mean? Until this one day. This one day, things changed. These words that Isaiah wrote 700 years from the New Testament, this one day in the New Testament, it's recorded in Luke. We'll go straight to Luke. Luke chapter 4, 14, 21. Jesus gets up and he reads these scriptures. These scriptures that they read, the same old thing. He read the same, but something this time was different. Let's look at it. Luke chapter 4, 14 through 21. Here we go. Then Jesus returned to Galilee, filled with the Holy Spirit's power. Something was different. Reports about him spread quickly through the whole region, and he taught regularly in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. Verse 16. And when he came to the village of Nazareth, his boyhood home, he went as usual, same old thing as usual, just the way they did it 100 times, just like that, but this time was different. It was on the Sabbath, in the synagogue, he stood up and he read the scriptures differently. Verse 17, the scroll of Isaiah the prophet was handed to him, and he rolled the scroll, and he found the place where it was written. Where it was written. The power of the Holy Spirit was upon him. Look here, and he begins to read. 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring the good news to the poor. Something was different about the way he was reading it. He has sent me to proclaim the captives will be released, that the blind will see. Something was different this time with the way that it was being read. That the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. Oh, it was different. Things were different. It wasn't the same old way. Something was different with the way that he was bringing this out. He was bringing it out as if he was lying in a gutter, and he had one shot, just one opportunity to share who he was and what he was about. And he began to share. This is what he shared. And he rolled up the scroll, and he handed it back to the attendant, and he sat down. And all eyes in the synagogue looked at him intently. Why? Because it was different. It was not the same old way that it was done 700 years, 100 times, over and over again. And then he began to speak to them. The scripture you have just heard has been fulfilled this very day. God, forgive us. Forgive us. Forgive us that we have fallen short. Forgive me that I have fallen short in such a way where I have not reflected a message of life change like you want reflected. See, here's the deal, folks, is that when Jesus read this, he was basically laying out his mission statement, giving out his passion, sharing with them who he was and what he was about and what God had called him to do. Let's look at this. Verse 18. Look at verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Jesus reads, Folks, here's what we can glean from this, is that when the Spirit of the Lord is truly on you, I'm telling you, there is a power that comes with that. A power that comes with that. Go back to 14. Then Jesus returned to Galilee filled with the Holy Spirit's power. Folks, this message, this gospel message is powerful. It is powerful in that, man, it brings good news to the poor. And I'm not just talking to some of us who have trouble making rent. Okay, that's not what this is. When we talk about good news to the poor, yes, it is that, but it's so much more. It's talking about good news to those that are in need. Good news for those that are desperate for supernatural favor, desperate for God to intervene in their life. Folks, there's good news. This gospel message, this message about change and life change, and this message that Jesus is bringing out, this message that if he was lying in a gutter and he had one shot, one time, one chance to share with you who he was, summing himself up one time, what would it be? And he would say that he would bring good news to the poor. He was saying that he would proclaim that captives will be released. Those that are in bondage, those that are enslaved to hurts, habits, and hang-ups, those that are held back from being all that God wants them to be. Folks, Jesus is saying that he will set you free. That the blind will see. Not just the physical blind, but the spiritual blind. How many here know someone? You know someone, and they are headed down the wrong path. You know them. You know who I'm talking about. Someone in your head, someone that you know that is blind, spiritually blind, and they are not moving in the right direction. God is saying that he will help those that are blind see. That those who are oppressed will be set free. Oppressed. Many of us here today, and we know folks, and even us included, are oppressed. There's a spirit of oppression that comes against us, that wages war against us. Oppression, depression, oppression, a spirit that comes and moves in upon us and tries to snuff us out. This says that not just that the blind will see, but the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come, meaning the day of Jubilee is here. What is that? That means that he will set all debts, all cancel all debts, not just what is owed. Well, back then it was every 7 years there was a day of Jubilee, and it was like this huge rejoicing. Man, your cars were paid off and everything was, wouldn't that be great, by the way? You know, credit cards, forget, you know, all that, you know, you're just set free. That is essentially the same type of freedom that we need to understand and feel spiritually. Folks, you today can experience freedom from all the things that you've done wrong. You are free from your guilt. God wants to free you from your guilt. He wants to free you from your wrongs and what you've done wrong and what you owe. God will set you free. See, this message that he gave was a message that was powerful, and it was read and proclaimed in such a way that it was different. And it was different because it says that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. The Spirit of the Lord. It references the Spirit two times before it gets into these scriptures. There is power in the Spirit. Father God, bring your Spirit and rest your Spirit upon us this morning. May the Spirit of God just be here in our midst. I pray in Jesus' name. Spirit of the Lord. I believe that this is the missing link. God help us. May the Spirit of the Lord come upon us. And when the Spirit of the Lord is upon us, we are seeking Him first. We're not seeking Him second. We're not seeking Him third. We're not seeking Him seventh. We're seeking Him first. Folks, I believe that God wants us to seek Him first. And when you begin to seek Him first, the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon you. And when the Spirit is upon you, you have placed your faith in God the Father in a way where it is less about you and your self-interest and more about what He wants to do in and through you. God help us. Spirit of the Lord. More than 100 years ago, there was this British revivalist, and he was sharing this message, and he was sharing this message to these listeners, and in this message to these listeners, there was one person that heard this, and he was in his spirit, he was quickened. He was quickened in his spirit, and he responded to these words that led to a changed life, a changed city, a changed generation. And that timeless change echoes even today across all generations. This one man that heard this message, his name was Moody. You guys heard of Moody? A revivalist. Thousands of people have come to know Jesus through this one man. And here's what he heard. Here's what Moody heard that changed his life. He says, "The world has yet to see what God will do with and for and through and in and by the man or woman who is fully and wholly consecrated to Him." What's that mean? Consecrated. What's it mean? It means set apart. We'll leave it at that. It means set apart. Set apart for God's holy purposes. Set apart for God to speak, to inspire, to woo. Set apart for God, as Dustin sang earlier, set apart to be a vessel, a chosen vessel for God and for what God is calling that man or woman to do. Moody heard this, and things in Moody changed. And I'm telling you, just as it worked for Moody, it will work for us. If we allow ourselves and to set ourselves apart, the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon us. And the Spirit of the Lord will anoint us to bring good news to the poor. And the Spirit of the Lord will help us proclaim the captives will be released. And the Spirit of the Lord will help the blind to see, and the oppressed will be set free. And at that time, we'll be able to share with people how their debts can be made whole, how they can be made whole and forgiven and redeemed. God wants to do that in our generation today. You guys realize that? He wants to do that through you. He wants to do that through what you do at work. He wants to do that through how you live your life. With the time that we have left. See, I really, truly believe this. The challenge is at times that perhaps I don't live out what I say I believe. I get consumed with everything that's going on. I get consumed and I miss what God is trying and what God wants to do. Look, here's the deal. The deal this week, there's a few of us that met, and in our little meeting time, I just said, "What in the heck are we doing?" I mean, here's the truth. If we really believe that God can change lives, and if He's in that kind of business, what in the heck are we doing. The stuff that we think about, God help us. The stuff that we get consumed with, God help us. The stuff that we get distracted with, the stupid stuff that makes no stinking difference. What in the heck, folks, are we doing? I mean, are we really living what we say we believe? I mean, here's the truth. I'm going to be very honest with you. I mean, it's kind of a coming to Jesus with me this week. If I don't believe this, and if I don't really believe it, and I'm not willing to set myself apart and live it, what in the heck am I doing? I mean, this may come as a surprise, but I don't do this for money. It ain't worth it. I mean, the truth is if I don't really believe it, I there's a lot of things that you and I, we could be playing golf. We could go fishing all the time. I mean, there's a lot of things that we could be doing. What are we doing? Romans 8, it caught my attention in the last couple weeks. And check this out, Romans 8, 1 and 2. Here's what it says. It says, so now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Jesus Christ. Folks, think about this. There is no more guilt or judgment. I mean, all the stuff that you have done, that I have done, how we've wronged people, how we've hurt people, the sin in our life that we carry, the sin in people's lives that continually drag them down. This message to Romans says, there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Think about that. Think about the idea that you and I and all those cars that drive by here every day and those people that you work with, they drive by here every day. Those neighbors that you are, think about this. They have an opportunity to belong to the Creator of the heavens and the earth. And there is no condemnation in that. Think about this. Think about verse 2. And because you belong to Him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. What in the heck are we doing? I mean, this morning, I'll be real honest. I'm thinking, that guy who was judging Johnny, are those people out there that's judging me? That don't sell, Ryan. So I'm asking myself, all right, Lord, you want me to do this clip? And I'm asking myself, okay, let's bring it home. If I was laying in a gutter, I had one shot, one chance, with what time I had left, one chance to share about this God that we're all going to stand in front of. And I had one shot that would sum this thing up in the 30 minutes that we had here today. What would it be? This is what I came up with. What the Lord, I believe the Lord helped me come up with. So rest in that just for a second. Kind of park that right here. And let's go back over here to football for a second. Back over here. Because you guys are going, okay, I get it, Ryan. You're on point. You're getting there quick today. Thank you. You know, and you're speaking to, you know, things, I'm kind of ringing with you. I kind of hear what you're saying. I kind of like Johnny too, okay? But I got a football game, right? Here's the deal. We all like, you know, many of us are going to go home. We're going to watch this opening NFL weekend football, da-da-da-da, whatever that tune is, right? We can play it real quick if we need to. But here's the deal. The truth is that you're going to watch 11 people lay it all on the line, okay? And they're going to give it their best. I mean, here's a few folks that when I think of, I don't watch NFL anymore as much as many of you do. I like college for other reasons. But back in the day, old school, I won't go old school on you, right? These are a couple of my favorites and then one that would give me nightmares, okay? And look at this guy, Bill Bates. Boom, that's Bill Bates. Number one, walk on, you know, he tried out for the team. And there's something about Bill Bates that I just always really liked. He's not a Hall of Famer, but man, he just laid it all on the line. Look at him. And then there's this other guy, Walter Payton. Check this out. Now, folks, Walter's the all-time greatest. I love Walter Payton. Many of you remember him, some of you don't, right? But here's the thing about Walter Payton. Walter Payton is doing everything he can right now to score that touchdown, to win that game. He's laying it all, he's bringing it home right here, man. I mean, he's going up and over, right? Beautiful sight. Walter was the all-time greatest. I just love Walter Payton and who he was. And then there's this third guy that gives you nightmares. Jack Lambert. Oh, gosh. I hate the Steelers. Sorry. I think there's a special place in heaven on the other side of the, you know, somewhere for Steeler fans. But nonetheless, you know, look at Jack Lambert, arguably one of the greatest middle linebackers of all time. And just, I would have nightmares about him. Like, he was tackling me or something. You know what I mean? I mean, he lost his teeth. God knows how. I don't know how, but, you know, he's just an animal. But there's some, what I'm saying is there's something inspiring about the way these guys would play the game. And I believe that God wants us to go all in for him. New Testament writers laid it all on the line for something so much more than football. There's so much more than a game. There are people hurting, dying, empty, lost people struggling in their marriages and your kids' lives, their kids are watching you, folks. Are they inspired by the way you're living out your faith? Or is it the same old thing 100 times? Folks, the kids aren't inspired by that. They're not drawn to that. They're not drawn to that. God help us. May we come to grips with the message, the gospel message this morning, and may we live it out. Paul is writing to Timothy. He's writing to Timothy. It's kind of a coach, mentor, or mentor, coach kind of relationship. Timothy was coming in behind Paul. Timothy looked up to Paul, and Paul's writing him this letter. And in this letter, Paul is writing, it's his last words to Timothy, literally. And when he's writing this to Timothy, he's saying to Timothy, he's thinking to himself and he's praying, Lord, if I'm laying in a gutter and I got one shot to share with Timothy, what would the shot be? What would it be? And it's kind of like a coach at halftime. When I read this, and when you look at it, it's filled with passion and encouraging and spurring Timothy on and all those that are around Timothy. And you see it in 2 Corinthians 4, 1 through 8. I believe that may this rest, this scripture rest on us here this morning. May we take it home with us. Check this out. This is Paul's words to Timothy. It's his halftime speech. He says, I solemnly urge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who will someday judge the living and the dead when he appears to set up his kingdom. Preach the word of God. Be prepared in season and out of season, or whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct and rebuke and encourage your people with good teaching. For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want them to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after myths. But you should keep a clear mind in every situation. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work at telling others the good news and fully carry out the ministry that God has given you. As for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. The time of my death is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race, and I have remained faithful. And now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. And the prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to his appearing. God help us. Folks, you and I have an issue. Are we really living in a way where people believe it? Are we living in a way where the Holy Spirit is upon us and we're consecrated to him? God help us. Are we really living like we believe that he has anointed to bring good news to the poor? He has proclaimed the captives to be set free, that the blind would see and the oppressed would be released. Are we really living it that way, like we believe it? We are in a day where I believe that the window is closing. I am 52 years old, folks, and some would say that's old. And some would say that's young. But the truth is I am halfway through, more than likely, through ministry. Over that, maybe. Maybe not, if the Lord, whoever, who knows. My point, folks, is we don't have time to waste. If we really believe it, man, let's live it. If we don't believe it, let's go play golf or go fishing. I just believe that the Lord has something more. So, in closing, I want to offer this holy dare. This holy dare. This is a holy dare. Moody, they gave Moody a holy dare. Basically, the British revivalist gave Moody this dare to live like he believed it. And so this morning, I want to offer you a holy dare. I believe that this holy dare will help us tap in a more powerful way the Spirit of the living God. I believe that this holy dare will give us an opportunity to see what God can do. So here's what I'm doing. I want to dare 10 people. And I already have, I think, 4 or 5 from first service. I want to dare 10 people who will meet me here on Thursday morning at 6 a.m. for prayer. 10 people. 10 people who would want to bring it home. Just 10 people who would say if they were living in a gutter, man, one chance, one shot. 10 people who will meet me here this Thursday at 6 a.m. for prayer. We're going to meet this week. I'm going to meet this week, and we'll see what comes out of this. And then I want to ask, maybe some of us can't do that, but here, listen to this. I want to dare 20 people who will fast something on Thursday. Fast something on Thursday. You can't be here for prayer, but you can fast something on Thursday. Meaning, you are willing to set aside something you like and just say, you know what? I'm going to set myself apart on Thursday to pray that the Spirit of the Lord would be on Shelter Community Church. That we would see the manifestation of the power of God released and relinquished, and there would be life change and power to come through that. And if you can't do that, or you don't feel led to do that, I want to dare 30 people. 30 people. Give me 30 people to help me reinstate the 15-minute protocol. Meaning that for 4 days a week, you're willing to give 15 minutes to God in prayer and devotional life. I need 10 on Thursday. I need 20 to fast on Thursday. And I need 30, at least 30, to reinstate the 15-minute protocol where they were set aside 15 minutes to pray. I have an email. Is my email up there, Steed? I think it may be. That's my email. We'll be watching. We're going to give instruction. I need anyone who is willing to take up this dare. I need you to email me and tell me what you're willing to do. And I'm going to give you, I'll email you back with instructions. And some of it will be social media related. It'll be different things. But email me. And when you email me your contact info. I'd like your phone number. I'd like your, I'll have your email address. And certainly your name. Let's all stand. Father God, I just pray that, Lord, you would do something here in our midst. I do not want a pastor in a way that reflects the same old thing 100 times, getting up there doing the same old thing. Father, forgive us if that's the way it has been, and it has at times. I do want a pastor and lead in a way where if I was lying in a gutter, and I had one shot. Lord, I pray that you will help us. You will anoint how we bring this home. Anoint our efforts. Anoint us. And may your Spirit rest upon us. And may you, O God, infuse within us this incredible belief and faith that you are a God of change, a God of life change, a God that says, that does everything you say you can do. And Lord, help us as a church to see it. So this morning, Lord, I just pray that you will bless all my friends that are here, and there's any guests that are here for the first time, certainly we want them to know that we appreciate them being here. And may this message be inspiring to them. May the song and the time that we have had here be a day that brings incredible change to who we are as a people. In Jesus' name, amen.
The message you just listened to was from a weekend gathering at Shelter Church. If you'd like to learn more about us or speak with a pastor, please visit us online at shelterchurch.tv.